racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
We're here at the 72nd hole of the 100th playing of the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka on the threshold of history. Only four other guys have won the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year. Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. And now Brooks Koepka is on the threshold of doing that. His birdie putt comes up just 2 inches shy, but he's going to walk up and tap it in. Congratulations to Brooks Koepka. He wins his third major in his last six attempts. What a performance. What a player. What a championship.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Welcome to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. That was myself with that call, and I'm alongside Jay Randolph Jr., better known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter, better known as part of a legendary radio team in St. Louis. His dad and Jay, who's on with us now, are absolutely legends in St. Louis. I never enjoyed it so much, the respect and the admiration that those two get, and it's an honor for me to be working alongside of Jay Jr., and he takes his job so serious, he went and played Belle Reve, so he could tell our listeners more about that golf course than we know now. Congratulations on behalf of all the great fans in St. Louis. They came out in droves, Jay. I know you were beaming with pride. What a way for the PGA of America to celebrate their 100th anniversary.
Still on cloud nine for so many different reasons, but obviously the culmination on Sunday of an incredible week here in St. Louis. And, you know, you and I have covered the game a long time. You don't hear players continually throughout the week thank the fans, thank them for coming out, be amazed at the numbers, and talk about the way they conducted themselves. I don't know that you could have written a better script. Yeah, you could argue, yeah, Tiger could have won, or Jordan Spieth could have been there, or Rory or Dustin. But, Bob, I'm glad you got to be here and Janice got to be here. You know, it's bittersweet in a way because you turn the page and, you know, the next available PGA championship is 2031. So, I mean, it's awesome. It was fantastic. It's a week we in St. Louis will never forget. And I think it was one of the great PGAs of all time.
And you had an opportunity to go play Belle Reve. Having played it after watching the greatest players in the world, I'm sure your admiration and respect for Belle Reve probably even increased.
Yeah, it was high before, and as I told Janice before the start of the show, I was taken aback by how thick the rough was. I mean, we saw guys struggle with it at times, but I thought it was more spotty than across the board. You know, and the strength of these guys hitting out of the rough, whereas we would just move it 25, 30 yards, they're moving it 120, 140, and still able to hit shots. The golf course, you know, was the story early in the week, Bob, about, well, the greens and how tough it is, this growing season in St. Louis, and the moisture and how wet and soft it was going to be. By Sunday, the golf was so good, nobody cared how good the greens were. Nobody cared that we were having a major championship in August in the Midwest. And kudos to the members of Belle Reve for giving up their golf course. It's not an easy thing to do. I know there was a lot of indecision over there, but in the end, they got an unbelievable championship, and the PGA celebrated their 100th in style with a great tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there's four people or four situations that I want to make special note of. One being the opportunity to sit alongside your dad and do some radio work with him. He is just as good as the first day I met him. He's just unbelievable talent. It was like for me to go to school just to sit alongside of him. Being from there with the pride that you had, the fans, they were absolutely incredible. And Reese Jones, who was so worried because, you know, the Mother Nature on Monday and Tuesday, just what you didn't want, that kind of rain. But come Sunday, everybody was glowing about the golf course. So that group of four deserves special recognition from the Grill Room, and I'm happy to extend that. And now I guess we better talk about this championship, because they're going to be talking about it for a long, long time. I wrote a story for my paper back in New York, and I actually started out by saying, you know, they just finished the 100th anniversary of the PGA of America, but we may have to wait another 100 years before we get one as good as what we just witnessed there at Belrive. And hats off to Brooks Koepka. Let's give a listen to what he had to say.
You know, three majors at 28. It's a cool feeling. It really is. You know, hopefully, you know, I can stay healthy. I've kind of had some trouble with that over the past 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was. Missed the British and then to miss Augusta. I'm much more disciplined now, so I should be able to play every major, making sure my body's healthy. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the next few years. I mean, as fans, like, I'm a fan of golf. You should be excited. I mean, Tiger's come back. You look at what Dustin's doing, Justin, Rory, Spieth. I mean, it's a great time to be a golf fan. And I can't wait to duel it out with them over the next couple of years or next however long.
Are we finally getting a glimpse, Jay, of just how good Brooks Koepka really is?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you know, now with three major championships, I kind of think he's a guy that when it's all said and done, it's going to be kind of in that sixth category with the Mary Mex and Nick Faldo. I mean, what's to make you think that he can't win three more majors or even more? I mean, other than the fact, as he just mentioned, the Justins of the world, the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys, the Dustin Johnsons, the kids that are coming, the kids that are playing in the U.S. Amateur this week at Pebble Beach. I mean, that's the only thing it seems like that could stop him, or an injury, as he said, which stopped him, you know, a little bit the last 2 years. I mean, you know, this guy wasn't even playing golf at the beginning of the year. I was just taken aback with, I mean, certainly you're taken aback with the power and the precision, but the attitude and the way in which he carries himself, and Bob seems unfazed, whereas you've got somebody like Jordan Spieth who, you know, for 4 days was jumping all over the place and couldn't figure out the greens and whining about this and that. It's a unique time for our game, and we've got more and more top-notch players than we've ever had.
Couldn't say it any better. And let's hear what Brooks has to say about what he accomplished.
When I look at it, what I've done in the past two months, it's incredible. Looking where I was, sitting in my couch watching the Masters, and to think I would do this, I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance. And to do it is really incredible. You know, my doctors, physios, trainers, everybody did an unbelievable job, even to get back out on the golf course. And to do what I've done is very impressive. I can't even believe it.
You know, Jay, if I'm Brooks Koepka, I may seriously consider just playing four events a year. Why don't I just play the majors? I'm exempt into the, you know, every one of those for at least the next 5 years. And at $2 million a copy, why do I have to go to Wyndham?
Well, you're right. I mean, the way he seems to play in the majors, you know, I guess he kind of, in a way, wrapped up player of the year. I mean, when you win two majors, you're player of the year, but we still have these FedEx Cup playoffs. And, you know, I mean, if Dustin Johnson wins two of them, or, you know, somebody that's won a Patrick Reed wins one that's been a major, but Brooks Koepka is the golfer of the year. No question about it. As you mentioned, those names that had won both the United States Open and the PGA in the same year. And Jack Nicklaus tweeted about that on Monday. And no, I got a little miffed to Peter Costas on the 72nd hole. It almost like Peter was complaining that he wasn't getting enough attention himself, and that Koepka was being overshadowed by what Tiger was doing. Anybody just about is going to be overshadowed if Tiger Woods is on the leaderboard. People in the game like you and I know what Brooks Koepka did, and that legacy will continue and continue to grow. And we have the utmost respect for what this guy did. You know, I did see a funny tweet. Somebody on Sunday night put Tiger Woods won the PGA at 14 under. Brooks Koepka finished second at 16 under. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Tiger moves the needle. We know about the TV rankings, but you don't take away anything from a guy who had the performance he did and held on both on the end of the round Saturday and throughout the back nine on Sunday to get his third major.
You know, Jay, there's some aspects to Brooks Koepka's game that really are amazing when you isolate them and look at them individually. Number one, his coolness under fire. I mean, he doesn't shy away from a pressure-packed situation. His ability to seem to block out all the noise. And I think his victory was made sweeter by the ruckus that Tiger Woods was causing. Somebody else might get rattled by that. Certainly didn't bother him. And then you combine the distance with the accuracy and the nerve to hit those shots in that situation. I go to the 72nd hole, Jay, and you certainly have played enough golf. I mean, he's leading by two shots. He's got one hole to go. It's kind of a narrow hole. No need to hit driver. He takes it out, busts it about 350 right down the middle. I mean, that is something that we're going to have to get used to, because you wouldn't see that in the past. You'd see somebody, justifiably so, probably take an iron out, knock it up there. You know, even if they make bogey, they're still going to win.
We saw a guy at Shinnecock, I mean at Wingfoot, that had a two-shot lead named Phil Mickelson and lost it. I mean, I kept wondering, you know, Adam Scott was still kind of keeping up with him, and you had that par five left. But it almost looked like, hey, there's nobody that's going to take this guy down because of his demeanor and his attitude and clearly his confidence. You know, all these people talk about statistics, greens in regulation and fairways hit and proximity to the hole. What you said first off, that mental side, there's no statistic for that. But if there was, he'd be at the top of the list. And to do it with the confidence that he did down the stretch, granted, I mean, it's not the hardest golf course that they've ever played, but when you're playing for the PGA Championship and you're playing for your second major of the year, you think there might be a little twitch. Not for this guy.
No, absolutely no twitch. We have to talk about Tiger. We have to talk about Adam Scott. I think we'll do that in a few seconds from right now.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be listening to Bob and the SDL Golf Geek.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay, when we look at Tiger's performance, to call him Houdini, you have to. I mean, didn't hit one fairway on that front nine. What do you make of that?
You could have put a lot of tour pros, a lot of guys that were in the field, in the spots that he was in on that front side, and they'd have shot 38 or 39, and that would have been it. They'd been thinking about their trip home. I mean, you know, you run out of the superlatives and the adjectives. I think the one thing that I take away from what we've seen has been a progression. And that's the way it should be. You know, for us to expect that he was going to come out and just start winning golf tournaments left and right, I think was even for our expectations of Tiger Woods was a little too much. And you've seen the progression through the year. I was a little surprised with the showing this week, especially being tired, talking about the ice baths on Tuesday in the media center and not looking like he was as interested as he normally was. And then the start, Bob, to go bogey, double, and double one of the easiest holes on the golf course, the 11th hole in the opening round, and to hold it together, to stay with it, to do what he did, you know, it just adds another chapter in the Tiger Woods story. And the beauty of it going forward is, if this is a progression, and if he is continuing to get better, and if somehow he could find a fairway or two, you know, it just makes the game bigger and better. So let's hope, just like Carnoustie, it wasn't a one-shot deal. It may be something we get to see the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, I certainly hope so. And the one thing about Brooks Koepka is the fact that he not only impresses me on the golf course, but he impressed me after the round by talking about Tiger's effect on his career.
As a kid growing up, that's the whole reason that all of us are, or people in my generation are even playing golf, was because of Tiger and to duel it out with them. It's pretty neat. I don't think I ever dreamed of that. That situation that I was in today. It really is surreal, man. It's really cool.
Pretty impressive when Brooks pays homage like that. That impresses me. That shows me that there's a super good side inside Brooks Koepka. And now as the face of golf right now, it's certainly impressive to me.
Well, you know, you and I have gotten to see these young men that have been what I call tigerized because they look upon the game differently than kids coming out of college from before. They've got a different mindset, and that's because of Tiger. And they've grown up with him. They grew up with him watching majors. They idolized him, and now they're getting to play with him, you know, and getting, you know, the last two majors, getting to play with him in the heat of battle in major championships. So I think, and they all know that when he's involved, it heightens the game. It heightens their opportunity for success as it relates to financial and to notoriety. So, you know, I think they're all rooting for him. Hey, all the second places you want, be out here and do it. Just don't take my title.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hear from Tiger, but I have to deliver one message. If anybody doubts the impact and the magnitude of Tiger Woods in the golf world, on Saturday night, Reese Jones was having dinner with Matt Kuchar, and Tiger Woods' lady friend has their pet dog on a leash and asked Reese Jones if he would watch Tiger's dog while she went in and got some food to go. And Reese was excited as Brooks Koepka was at winning the event. So yeah, that puts it into perspective just a little bit. Let's give a listen to Tiger now.
Brooksy, what he's doing, it's tough to beat. When a guy hits a 340 down the middle, that's that's tough. And, you know, what he did at Shinnecock, you know, just bombing it. And then he's doing the same thing here. I played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 315 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat.
Yeah, there's no formula, Jay, for beating a guy that hits it 350 and is a good putter. But what's the defense against that? There is none.
No, there isn't anything. He's got to make the mistakes or he's got to have the off week or whatever. It just, you know, if he's right, you know, it's like almost like Dustin Johnson, that athleticism. When he's right and he's able to find the fairway with those long drives, it just sets him up. I mean, it's a new game. And, you know, he seems to have, as you said earlier, Bob, the control aspect more than any of these other guys. I mean, you and I remember back in the day having Big Cat Williams and other guys that could hit it for miles, but they could hit it for half mile left and right. I mean, that's not what this guy does. He just pounds it down the fairway. And even the fairways, if you look back on some of the fairways that he missed, he was just missing the fairway. I mean, it's not like he's hitting them like the guy that spoke before. You know, Tiger's right. It's hard to catch somebody when the one guy's hitting at 340 in the fairway and he's hitting at Army golf left and right 290.
You know, I want to move on, Jay, time becoming an issue here, and we could talk about Brooks and Tiger for it seems like forever. But I certainly was happy with the performance of Adam Scott. I congratulate the PGA of America. They extended a special invite to Adam Scott that marked his 70th consecutive major that he's played in, and he certainly put on a good show.
No, he certainly did, and he was disappointed over the last couple of holes because he felt like he really had put himself in the mix, especially playing with Brooks Koepka. It's good to see Adam Scott. I mean, people that don't know him, he is, and maybe he's too nice in a way. He's one of the nicest guys out there. Good stuff from him. Justin Thomas is kicking himself all the way to the car on Sunday. Couple of miscues. He looked like he was going to jump back in the mix. And that leaderboard, Bob, that we had with 7 of the 11 players on the leaderboard going into the final round with major championships, it just doesn't get much better.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a valid point because when you have a major and you have the quality of names that we had with reasonable opportunities to win that PGA championship, I mean, it wouldn't have been a stretch for Justin Thomas to win. It wouldn't have been a stretch for Tiger to win. It wouldn't have been a stretch for Justin Thomas to win. So, when you have a championship like that, once again, I got to go back to the fans that were out there at Belle Reve. I mean, it was warm. It was hot. But boy, oh boy, they behaved so wonderfully well, and they were so appreciative. I made a point to be near the exits when they were leaving, and it seemed like every one of them with a smile on their face. They're patting the other guys on the back saying, boy, I'm glad we came out here. And there's no doubt that St. Louis traditionally is a wonderful sports town. And I think it really showed during the week of the PGA.
Well, you know, Bob, we've had a couple of hiccups the last number of years. Our city is, and you got to remember, the city of St. Louis and the county are separate. They're divided. But the city of St. Louis has been ranked number one in homicides. And we had the situation with Ferguson 5 years ago. And, you know, this was at least for a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon, the city to come together, put the, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you're fat or skinny, it didn't matter. You just wanted to be there and embrace it. And, I hope the PGA of America or other golfing bodies take notice. And, now maybe we'll get a little bit more due. Hopefully it won't be 26 years before we get that type of environment in our town again.
No, I certainly hope not, because I'm not going to be able to make it.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. The Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. And when we come back, we're going to hear from the mouth that roars, Alex Maselli, the founder and publisher of MorningRead.com, next on the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf.
You're listening to the Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gym has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready.
As we like to do in the Grill Room, we welcome in Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Alex, I want to talk about something that you're probably not going to hear even on any mainstream golf coverage. Some grumblings that the possibility exists of the PGA of America merging with the PGA Tour or vice versa. Have you heard anything definitive along those lines? If not, do you think that that's even a remote possibility?
Definitive, no. Has that been brought to my attention by others? Yes. Do I think it's something that could happen? I think that it would be something down the road, if possible, and I think it would have a lot to do with who the PGA of America picked as its new CEO. You know, when they picked Pete Bevacqua back five so plus years ago, they actually had a mandate, obviously, by the selection board. Who do we want? What do we want? What are we looking for? And I think a lot of it had to do with they wanted to be in a better financial position than they were under the previous administration. I think Pete Bevacqua has done an excellent job of making the PGA of America a much better organization financially. But as you know, Bobby, in talking to a lot of the membership, meaning the rank and file, they feel like they have lost somewhat of control over this organization. And they want more control. They want to be more involved in what happens in this organization here. 29,000 members. And if you talk to each one of them individually, they feel the biggest part of their membership, why they pay their dues, is because they can go to Augusta every year for free because they have a badge from, you know, being a member. That should not be what the organization is about. Would the potential of being a better members organization, being merged with some like the PGA Tour, would that in fact make what those people are looking for, would that make that happen? Would it make it a better organization for them? That's unclear. Is this something that they're sitting down as the selection board is sitting there saying, what do we want? Is that something that they're thinking about? It's unclear as well.
So the basic answer in human terms, rather than the diatribe that we just heard from Mr. Maselli, it is a possibility, but certainly not anything definite at this point. All right, Alex, we're at the fourth.
I didn't know you wanted a short answer. You didn't say that.
I didn't. We're at the fourth and final major. How does Alex Maselli rate the majors, in what order and why?
Well, I think the order is pretty clear. To me, the Masters is the best one of the four. The Open Championship is the second best of the four. They know what they want to be. They knew exactly what they should be. You know exactly what you're going to get at the Masters. The Masters is like McDonald's. When you roll into McDonald's, you know exactly what you're going to get. They don't change it. They don't want to try to do something different. They want to give you exactly that. They want to give you your McDonald's experience. In this case, the Masters experience. The Open Championship is terrific because, again, they know exactly what they want to be. They are a links-style tournament. They are never going to be leaving a Lynx golf course. You know exactly what you're going to get there. They don't do anything crazy with the golf course. Perfect example. I think the third one is difficult. I think currently the U.S. Open is probably three and the PGA Championship is four. But I think that's going to change dramatically with the move of the PGA Championship from August to May. I think it's going to have an identity. It's going to have its own, you know, personality, which it doesn't seem to have now. The personality of the PGA Championship now in August is hot, and it's the fourth one. and we're just tired of golf. When it's in May, it's going to have a completely different personality, and one that I think everybody is going to be involved in and excited about, because it's going to be the second major, not the fourth major. And so I think in that way, it's going to be at least the third best major going forward. And then the U.S. Open, which clearly has no identity, has no idea what they're doing, is completely screwed up in many, many ways, is going to be the fourth, far and away the fourth.
Alex Maselli from Morning Read, founder and publisher. As we let you go, if we took a poll of everybody competing here in this PGA Championship as they celebrate their 100th anniversary, and we asked the players what major would they prefer to win if they could only win one in their career, the majority would say
Augusta. There's no question. That's not even a question. And that will never change.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's a couple of par threes you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Proud to say, joining us now, the next president of the PGA of America, a very special person that I've known for a long time, and couldn't be happier that you're taking over as president of the PGA of America. Susie Whaley, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It was very nice. Nice introduction.
You have a lot of things that obviously are going to be on your plate. For the first part of this, I'd like to put a little attention to the club pro division. I've been friends with many, many club pros. I think they're, you know, probably underappreciated, overworked, but they all do it with such passion. How do you see the PGA of America helping the club pros out even more?
Yeah, we work to do that every day, as you're aware. And I think, you know, our environment's changing as well. The consumer landscape is changing, and we have to address our PGA professionals' needs. We have to ensure consumers know who they are, they understand what they do, and the value exchange that they can offer and the experience they have at a golf course. I'm, of course, biased, but I believe PGA professionals offer that connection to anybody that wants to start the game or evolve their game even to the tour elite level. So for us, it's all about giving them the resources they need to do that and resources they find valuable. So what we're working very hard on is a brand new education track that will give our professionals opportunities, if they so choose to take them, that will really elevate their career in the education space. We have a coaching and teaching track that we hope to bring in the world-renowned experts that can help us really gain that attention that we need to showcase the talents our PGA professionals have. And we also want employers to understand who we are and what we do and the value we bring to properties or to whatever, a company, for example. I think many people don't realize that we have professionals not only that work at golf courses, we also have professionals that work for manufacturers. We have professionals that work in communications and IT and accounting within our association. So we're striving to ensure that each and every one of their well-being is elevated and raised. And one of those ways we're doing that is through a new campaign called PGA Journeys. It's airing and starting this week at the PGA Championship here at Belle Reve, where we're gonna start to tell stories on TV about the journeys PGA professionals have, where they started and where they've come in their evolution as a PGA golf professional, in hopes that consumers can really see themselves in those that we're serving. But also because we need to look more like the communities we serve. And telling those stories, we hope people will have a reaction to that. And really seek out a PGA professional if they want to get into the game.
We're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the PGA Championship. And next year, when Susie Whaley is the president, almost a right turn from the last major of the year to the second major of the year to be contested in May. I'm assuming you're very excited about that move.
You know, we're excited to celebrate our 100th, right? So here this week is fantastic. But we are excited. We took a long time to make that decision. And the reason we did that is multiple factors. One of which, of course, is 85% of our PGA professional season start in the springtime. And we now have the opportunity to elevate and promote and communicate the programming that they're offering at their facilities and in our digital and television landscape. So that's really healthy for our PGA professionals. We also are huge advocates of the Olympics, but that happens every 4 years, and so the PGA Championship would have been moved every 4 years if we stayed in the position we've been in, which has mostly been in August. I mean, we have a good cadence now to the golf calendar, which is really exciting. Obviously, we'll follow the Masters, and then the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship, and it gives a really nice cadence to not only golf fans, but to the players themselves, and we've had multiple outpouring from players that they're thrilled about the move to May. It also opens up some venues that we candidly have never had an opportunity to participate and use because of heat and weather and conditions that we now can get away from and go to other parts of the country we've never had a chance to do so. So we're really excited about it, and I look forward to it. I mean, Bethpage will be an event amongst itself, right? The PGA Championship in New York. I was born in New Jersey, but grew up in upstate New York and Syracuse, New York. And I tell you what, the one place that I think fans can rival St. Louis maybe is New York. I'm not going to say for sure, but maybe, because this has been unbelievable here. So, but we're excited.
Yeah, the reaction in St. Louis certainly has been incredible. Obviously, you're going to be the first female ever to be president of the PGA of America. But with your talent, skill, and everything about Susie Whaley, I don't see it as a handicap at all being female. In matter of fact, I'm probably more on the other side. I think it's going to be an advantage.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I look at myself first and foremost as a PGA professional. I think it's pretty obvious I'm a woman. I don't think we have to really state that often. I mean, I'm just honored to wear the badge, just like any other member is honored to wear the badge. To have an opportunity to represent the 29,000 men and women who are part of our organization is an incredible opportunity for all of us. But I don't do it by myself. I do it with a fantastic board of directors. I do it with other officers. Our vice president will be Jim Richardson. We have an election now for our secretary coming up. We have an amazing executive team. We are in the process of hiring a fantastic CEO. To bring us into the next phase for the PGA of America. So I look at it as an incredible opportunity for all of us at the PGA of America to elevate our professionals, to ensure that they have the resources they need for their well-beings, but also to grow the game. We need more people on golf courses. I want more women to be on golf courses. I hope we can get more minorities on golf courses, and we're working very hard amongst all PGA professionals to do that.
Sport of a lifetime. Only can wish you the very best, Susie Whaley. Thanks for being a friend, and good luck as you come into the role of president of the PGA of America. I know in advance you're going to do a wonderful job.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Great to hear Susie Whaley with Bob. A big opportunity for her, and it sounds like the PGA of America is going to be in some good hands with all the initiatives that they're trying to do in the future, Bob.
Yeah, I've been a friend of Susie's for quite a while. She's a very talented player, one heck of a club professional. I think that the PGA of America, definitely, I agree with you, Jay, is going to be in good hands with Susie Whaley at the helm.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.